Let us worship God. Let us sing in Psalm number 105. 105 and verses 1 to 6. In Psalm 105, give thanks to God, call on his name. To men his deeds make known. Sing ye to him, sing psalms, proclaim his wondrous works, each one. To verse number 6 in Psalm 105, to God's praise. Now let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Our great Heavenly Father, our God of all mercy and grace, may we indeed raise our voices now to give praise and thanks unto the Lord. Thy mercies are new every morning and every night and every day. And every moment by moment of our life we are surrounded by a mysterious purpose, the unseen hand of God, the great heart of God towards his people. We acknowledge that we walk so often ignorant of God's presence and God's mercies. We live unthinkingly. We are occupied so much, O God, by the distractions of this world, good things and bad things. We are discarded within ourselves so often. We are upset over trivialities and not upset so often over serious issues. We are over-concerned, we confess, O God, concerning what we shall eat and what we shall wear and what we shall do. The very things that our Lord Jesus Christ warns us against, which can preoccupy us overmuch, and cloud our thinking in the kingdom, and crowd out seeking first the kingdom of God. And we confess, O Lord, that we are no different to anybody else, and that by nature we would walk ignorantly and in sin, deliberate, delighting in sin, choosing disobedience to God as a way of life by nature. And yet thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We pray that as we read the scriptures again and are exposed to its wonderful teaching, that we would be good soil, that we would be prepared soil, soil that has been, as it were, churned up, ploughed up, that the thorns and the seeds of thorns and the desire for other things would no longer be lurking deep within us, that the stones and the stony heart would be taken away, and that there'd be no impediments in our hearts or in our attitudes or in anything in our life, no impediments to receiving with great appreciation and with a continual personal application the message of the gospel. We give thanks, O God, that there is such a thing as the gospel. We can hardly imagine a world without the gospel. We can hardly imagine our lives without the message of the gospel. And yet we know that the gospel is not an inevitability. It is a message that has come from heaven. It is a revelation of historical events, revealing to us God's purposes of grace and mercy and peace, rather than emphasizing his wrath and his curse upon us. And as we read the scriptures, we are given explanations of so many things, O God. The beginning of the world, the purpose of it, for God's glory, all very good in the beginning. And we see that it is not all very good now. Something has happened. We have ruined ourselves. We have brought not only the curse upon our individual lives, but upon the world around us. Cursed is the ground for our sake. And we have all shared, we have all contributed, and by nature, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And this is the explanation why we have wicked thoughts and evil lusts and desires in our hearts. And this is also the reason why God sends the gospel, to deliver us from so great a tragedy, a danger in living, a terrible tragedy in dying in sin, the terrible curse that is always part of our existence, the entail of our relationship to Adam. And into that condition, God sent his dear Son with our likeness in our nature, in the likeness of sinful flesh. The Word became flesh. He tabernacled amongst us, full of grace, full of truth, in order that we might know him, in order that we might listen to him, in order that we might see the kind of way that he dealt with people, with sinners and with saints, the way he responded to God's word, to God's commission to his life, to do the work for which God had sent him, and how he did it so willingly and lovingly, delighting to do God's will. So different from any other who has ever lived. A man unique, yet a man, but more than a man. The man Christ Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, become flesh, tabernacling amongst us, sharing in our life, living our life for us without sin, pleasing God in everything that he did, dying under the curse of God, bearing God's curse, not upon him for his sin, but upon him for our sin. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, in order that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the gospel. This is the gospel that is so, so needy needful for us. This is the gospel that is mocked, criticized, despised, rejected, believed in any place and in any age by only a few. This is the gospel that is kicked around the world as though it were a piece of rubbish and a message of nonsense. O God, this is our gospel. And this Christ of the gospel is our hope, the preaching of the cross, foolishness to those who are perishing. But unto those who are being saved, it is the power of God, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God in the gospel, the cross of Christ, the cross of shame, the wisdom of God. This is the way that God chooses to save lost souls. And so this afternoon, as we are exposed again to this gospel, may we learn it afresh. May we never grow tired of it. May it always be old but ever new. May it be the story, the old story, but the saving story. The story that tells us of our future. The story that explains to us our past. And indeed deals with us in the present. The story of him who is the same yesterday, today and forever. The story of Christ. The story that is going to last all through eternity. As long as this world lasts, this gospel will be preached. And throughout eternity, this gospel will be remembered. The Lamb of God in the midst of the throne. Worthy is the Lamb, the assembled multitudes in the glory, praising the Lamb who stands there as one having been slain. Worthy is the Lamb to receive all praise and honour and glory, for thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Lord, may we never look anywhere else. May we never desire anyone else. May we never put Christ in a secondary place. May we never, O God, put anyone above him in our affections, our estimation, our respect, our reverence, or our hope. May we spend our lives running with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. May we look and listen to Christ again today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 13, and we will pick up the reading at verse number 16. This is a narrative concerning the Apostle Paul's first missionary journey, and he has arrived at Antioch. We're told in verse 14, and when they had departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." And at verse 16, we have Paul's preaching his great sermon at Antioch. "Then Paul stood up and, beckoning with his hand, said, 'Men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Saviour, Jesus, when John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, "Whom do you think that I am? I am not here, he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is sent the word of this salvation. For they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he says also in another Psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which was spoken of in the prophets, Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And we'll leave the reading there at these last words of Paul's sermon recorded for us. We remind you once again, of course, of the notices. And our Wednesday meeting will be, God willing, at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. And a recorded message, we expect. And then next Lord's Day, as usual, 10:30 a.m. and 4:30 in the afternoon, recorded messages. Once again, we would seek to welcome you to listen in to these words of the Lord as we try to record them for your salvation and your sanctification. So we're glad for those of you who have joined with us. We do welcome you, and any new listeners, we are delighted to have you also with us now. We'll leave the notices there, and we shall continue to sing in Psalm 106. Psalm number 106 and verses 1 to 6. Psalm 106. Give praise and thanks unto the Lord, for bountiful is he. Psalm 106, 1 to 6.